thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
You know, I began to write this message last Monday and spent 8 hours on prepping it and writing it and really pressing into God and trying to really figure out what He wanted to say to us. This is the third message on Jubilee, and this will continue to be the theme throughout the year, and we'll weave it in as we go, because this is our 50th year as a church. But I spent all day, and as you know, last week was our time of prayer and fasting as a church, and I went over to the prayer chapel on Monday night, and as I was praying, within a moment, within a second, I don't know how God does it, but He's good like that, and He does it, and immediately He said, "That is not what I want you to speak on." And I reminded God, I did spend all day working on it, but He began to speak to me about some things He wants to share to us as a church. He wants to speak to us specifically as a church. And this is a very significant time for us as we've existed for 50 years. It's a real testament and testimony of our leaders that have gone before us and the elders that would lead us up to this point. It's also a great testimony of God's faithfulness to our senior pastor over the last 30 years. And it speaks of God's moving and doing things in our lives. And so I believe God wants to say something to us. He wants to say something that is for us right now, that it's different. We have the written word of God that we have that is for all people in every place at any time. We can use it and it speaks directly to us. But then there is a prophetic word, the word of the moment, the word right now that is for this people at this place at this time. And I believe this word God wants to speak to us today is not to the church at large. It's not to that. Because every church has their personality and they have to be faithful to God to walk it out and to be what God's called them to be. So this is not a word to the church. This is a word to our church that I believe God wants to speak to us. It's a word to us, those who are gathered here who call Faith Bible Chapel their home and their church, and to us as a community. And I believe God wants to affirm us as a community of believers, but He also wants to challenge us. He wants to tell us it's okay for you to be you, but also He wants us to go to a new, fresh place. He wants to challenge us in areas that will keep us from fulfilling the purposes that God has for us as a church. And I believe God really wants to say something particular to us this morning. And with Cheryl sharing that, it gives me a new dose of courage to continue to share what I believe God has spoken. When you walk in our church, there is something remarkable that you see. I don't know if you notice it or not. Some of us don't see it. Some of us see it as a hindrance. Some of us see it as a difficult complexity that somehow we have to navigate through. Some of us see it as a limitation for us. Some see it as something beautiful, as something helpful, something comforting, and something that gives us strength and anchors us. Some see it as something that compels us into the future and what God has for us. Some are anxious because of it, actually. Some are encouraged by what they see. So what is it that I'm talking about? What is it that's so remarkable about our church? When you walk into our church and you look around as you would look around today in our auditorium, you would see something that is profound. You will see generations represented here in our church. You will see people as young, and you will see people that are old. And I believe God wants to speak something to this. He wants to speak to this morning. This is who we are as a church, and this is who God has called us to be as a church. We are a family church. Now, I didn't grow up with grandparents who were alive, and I often wonder when I was younger, I wish I could have a conversation with my grandparent, but they're gone. And I'm sure there are grandparents who don't have any grandchildren. And they say, I wish I could have some conversations with some grandchildren. But my heart always longed for the wisdom of someone older than me. And maybe some of you have always longed for the zeal and the spirit and the courage of someone younger than you. Well, we are a family church. And in order to have the richness of family, you need to have generations represented in our midst. We saw a picture of this when we had baptism service several weeks ago. It was beautiful. Time of worship and time of baptism. Our first person baptized was a 9-year-old young boy. Our second person was a 45-year-old father. Our third person was an 87-year-old grandma. This is who we are as a church. That God has called us to touch and transform families. And you're transforming families, you're going to have to transform generations. And God is speaking to us about particularly generations this morning. So you can't have 50 years of life as a family without having 50 years of substance, 50 years of relationships, 50 years of memories, 50 years of assets, where children have become parents and parents have become grandchildren. But I believe the atmosphere of generational family pleases the heart of the Father. It only pleases the heart of God. It creates an atmosphere for spiritual momentum that is wide, it is deep, it is sharp, and it is strong. And I believe God delights in moving his people from one glory to another glory to another glory. But I believe the confines of us as a church accessing the next glory, the next place, the next drawing from God to come up to a higher place is found in the confines of us doing it together as the generations. God wants to take us all together. And there's a picture of this actually in Exodus chapter 10. It's a picture where Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go." Pharaoh says, "No way." Then Moses says, all right, you have to deal with God about that one. And plagues begin to come on the nation of Egypt. And plagues become over and over and over. And finally, after the last plague, Pharaoh brings Moses and Aaron into his presence and he says, fine, forget it. You take your people and let them go worship your God. And then he asks this question that I think is the key question to us. He said this, who are you going to take with you though? Who are you going to go with where you believe God has called you to go? And Moses answers this way in Exodus 10 verse 9. He says, we will go with our young and our old. We will go with our young and our old. I believe our Jubilee isn't just this year, but I believe we are in the beginning of a season of togetherness, a season of celebration. I believe we're embarking on the beginning of something that is great for us as a family. And the only way that we will fully cross over into our inheritance as a church is if we cross over together. This is the heart of God for us as a church. And I believe this is what he wants to speak to us today. You see, when we link arms with other generations, something powerful happens. Something significant happens. Something amazing happens. Because if you're linked arms with another generation, if you don't have experience, I guarantee you someone that you're linked arms with has the experience of what you're going through right now. If you're linked arms with someone and you just don't have zeal, I guarantee you someone that you're linked arms with has the zeal that you need to do what you feel like God's asked you to do. Or if you don't have strength, there's someone here as we link arms together that has the strength that you need. We begin to access what each other has. When I'm weak, you're strong. When I'm strong, you may be weak. When I'm fearful, you have courage. When you're struggling through the mires of life, listen, I can pull you up because I've been through it too. And there's something powerful that happens in the confines of generational impact amongst the body of Christ. God spoke this phrase in my heart about a year ago when my wife and I returned back here to the church from England. We came back, and I began to look around at our church. I began to look at us, and I felt this burning in my heart that God wants to reestablish or for us to rediscover family, rediscover one another. Listen, I don't want to go through life by myself. I don't want to come to church and then head off to my neighborhood that I live in. I want us to be a family that does life together. And I felt like God said this. He's simply this phrase, and I've used it for over a year now. Together, we are better. And I began speaking that even to our team. I, every time I was able to be in front of people, I would say something about family and something about together we are better, because I believe that's what God is doing. He's drawing us closer to himself, but he's drawing us closer to one another as we draw close to him. We're in a very significant time of our church history. I believe this is what the Lord is saying. And our last 50 years has been amazing. It's been full of God's grace. It's been full of God's care. It's been full of God's protection, full of his favor, full of great joy, full of great purpose. But when you start celebrating 50 years, it's a lot of fun, because not a lot of churches get to do it. And you remember the things that God did. You remember where God brought us. You remember the tough times we had to walk through. But you also cannot help thinking about the next 50 years. This is our Jubilee year as a church, but this is not just one year. We're going to celebrate this and then it's over. There is a sense in my heart that this year is a gateway year to great years ahead. This is a gateway year. This is the passage in which we walk through to access the great things that God has for us in the future. And I believe our Jubilee exists in the confines of us linking arms across generations and possessing what God has for us as a church together. Because, my friends, something we need to remember is that together we are better. I want to share with you some thoughts that what I believe God wants to speak to us. As we link arms and we take a look at this year and we prepare for the years to come, I want to look at a passage of scripture from the life of Caleb. And I want to explore what God wants to say to us from his life in this season of our life. Because the word of God is always speaking. And I believe this particular passage of scripture speaks to something God wants to say to us. And this is where the Lord led me as I was preparing for this. So we're going to be reading from Joshua chapter 14. If you want, you can get your phones out or your iPads out or grab the Bible in front of you and turn to Joshua 14. I'm going to be reading it in the New International Version. But to understand this, Caleb, to give context to chapter 14, Caleb was one of the 12 spies. He was originally sent out by Moses to scout out the land in Canaan before the Israelites went into it. And after scouting out the land, these 12 men came back to Moses and Aaron. And they said, "Here's the good news, guys. The land is flowing with milk and honey. This is the good news. Now, here's the bad news. That the people are already occupying that land. And not just they're occupying the land, but the people who were occupying were so big, it made us feel as though we were grasshoppers. And we're just grasshoppers compared to them." And they begin to share out of the fear of what they saw. And "I can't fight them. They're too big. The giants are too big. I don't know what we're going to do. Yes, it's great flowing with milk and honey, but there's no way that we can take it. There's no way." And I can just imagine the 10 scouts, because there were 12 that went out. Caleb and Joshua held a different opinion. But the 10 scouts went out and they began to share their fear in the midst of the people. And every time they started talking about the giants, the hearts of the people trembled. Scripture says that they melted. But we're first introduced to this young man, Caleb. He's 40 years old at the time. And it's almost as though he ignores everything. They're in this council meeting, and they're all talking about how freaked out they are and how, "I know God said we can have it, but I don't think God saw what I just saw." And we're introduced to Caleb, and it's almost as though he ignores everything that's going on. And he begins to speak, And we find here he is in Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. It says, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, now I don't know how he silenced them. All I know is when he spoke, people listened to him. Now understand the context. Everyone has just said that there's no way we can do it. Well, he speaks up above them and says, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Let's do it right now. Boys, what are you talking about? Let's go take it now. Let's possess what God has given to us. If God said he gave it to us, then it belongs to us. But the rest of the spies, except for Joshua and Caleb, convinced the Israelites that they could not take the land. And so the wandering began. And for 40 years or so, God takes them into the... For 40 years they wandered. And then after the 40 years, God finally takes them into the promised land. And this is where we pick up the passage of scripture which we're about to read in Joshua chapter 14. And Caleb, at this point, he's speaking to some of the younger generation how his faith in God had sustained him up to this point, but it was still unwavering. It had been 4 decades. Think about it, 4 decades since Moses had promised this land to him. And in this passage, the context of this is Caleb is looking at the land that Moses said belonged to him 45 years earlier. And he begins to speak. Finally, he had crossed over. Finally, he had seen the land again that he saw 45 years ago. And he's speaking to them. And he begins to infuse his faith into the lives of this younger generation. And we pick up in Joshua 14, verse 16. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. This is Caleb speaking. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. What was his convictions? His conviction was God said we can have it, so let's go take it. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. I want you to remember this term, wholeheartedly. We're going to revisit in just a moment. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old, and I love this. He says, I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out and battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Again, we have here wholeheartedly. And then the land had rest for more. First thing I want us to look at out of this passage is there are 3 things that come up. This phrase, this term that I believe God is speaking to us as a church through it. The first time it comes up is in verse 8, and we're going to take a look at it just now. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. When you look at the life of Caleb, this statement that he has made and made about himself and was made about him seems to be the theme. Seems to be the keynote of Caleb's life, that he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Often when I read this, I thought, can people say that about me? I mean, even back in Deuteronomy 1:36, something happened amongst the people and God made a verdict against these men. And he said, you will not get the inheritance I swore to your fathers except Caleb. Why? Because he followed me wholeheartedly. See, this whole life of Caleb and what we can learn from this and what God is saying to us as a church, that when he responded to God, there was no reluctancy ever. There was no hesitation. There was no reservation. There was no gap between what God said and what Caleb did. He immediately responded. He immediately said, yes, if God said it, I'm going to do it because he is with me. But I believe that this is one of the things God has spoken about us as a church, that a new day that has come for us as a community that call ourselves Faith Bible Chapel. Pastor George actually preached a little bit of this last week as he shared about Elijah and Elisha. And he shared about when Elisha caught the mantle of Elijah, that Elisha tore off his garments. He tore off his old clothes. He tore off the things that hindered him from putting on the new mantle, which we know was the double portion. And I believe God is leading us to a place to tear off the clothes that keep us from possessing what God has for us as a church, and that God is bringing us into a new season and another level, that we as men and women of this church, that we will be determined, whatever the circumstances, listen to me, friends, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what situations we're going to face, no matter what challenges are ahead of us, no matter what our flesh is crying out for, no matter how much opposition, whatever confronts us and whatever tries to distract us, that we will follow God wholeheartedly. We will not compromise. We will deal with hidden things in our life. We will lay it all on the table and we will say, I'm possessing my inheritance and I'm not letting anything get in my way. This is what God is saying to us as a church, and that God is calling us to be a people that follows him completely. So what does this mean for us? Listen, this challenged me personally, because the fact is this, what I do matters. It matters to you, and what you do matters to me. But what does this mean for you? What does this mean for us? I believe that God is calling us to another level, and he's going to walk with us into our jubilee as we walk together. So why is this important that I live a life personally, wholeheartedly, for you? Or if you live a life for me, what does it matter? And we're going to read chapter or verse 9 in just a moment. Before it comes up on the stage, I want us to understand this verse 9 that we're about to read. It is spoken by Moses, but there is an atmosphere to this scripture. There is a climate of significance that I hope we can catch this morning, of these words that is said to Caleb by Moses. And Moses begins to speak to him in verse 9. On that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. There's something significant. Why? Why will the inheritance become his children's inheritance forever? Because he chose to follow God wholeheartedly. I believe this word, it was cautionary when I read it. It was cautionary as well as challenging. And it simply said this to me, that something will happen in generations to come because of the faithfulness and the wholeheartedness of this generation, you and I, who are alive today. What you do and how you live your life matters, and it matters for how long? Forever. Why? Because there are people waiting. There are children that aren't even a part of this church yet. There are families who haven't even walked in the door yet, that we are responsible for, to live our lives in a wholehearted way so that we can access the inheritance that God has for us as a church. That everyone is a part of a generation, and that everyone has a responsibility to another generation. This is the beauty of our church, that we all need each other. Now, this isn't just self-speak, that I'm saying these things as though, because I want them, because I do, in my heart, I want them. And these aren't just grandiose things that I just want to throw out there that I hope they happen. Listen, my friends, I believe God is speaking to us as a church, that he wants us to have a fresh expression of what it means for us to be together. And I believe that every generation has the responsibility of the generation above and the responsibility of the generation below. That's what Moses was saying to Caleb. That's what he was meaning. The land on which your feet walk will be your inheritance, but it will also be your children's inheritance. He is speaking about a lasting inheritance that needs to be realized, that needs to be stewarded, that needs to be cultivated, that needs to be protected and embraced, because this is who we are as a church. And my heart for you today is that you would understand the significance of this. This is not something that we come to church and we hear a message and we go out and live it somewhere else. This is for us. And some of us, this will challenge us to a place we're not willing to go, but some of us, it will ignite our hearts and we will have the sense of God's presence gathering us together to be what he wants us to be as a church, as a whole. You and me and we have a responsibility that we would walk with God and serve God wholeheartedly. And it seems to be anytime you start talking about generations, things get a little funky. People start to misinterpret and misunderstand, and we actually start labeling, because that's what the world does. We like to label things. We like to put labels on just so we can understand them. And we start making names up that are loaded with opinions about that particular generation. And here are some of the names, actually. We start talking about the GI generation, the silent generation, the boomer generation, the Generation X, millennial generation, Generation Z. I don't know. I guess as more people are born, they just take letters from the alphabet and slap it on there. I don't know how they come up with the names, but these are labels that we put all the time on different generations. Now, I'm not saying using those is a wrong way, because we're just creating language so that we can serve them in a greater way. But what is wrong is when we use them, and that out of those names is attached limitations for each generation. When we hear a particular generation, we think, oh, yes, but they aren't this. We don't think of generation as they are. We think of them as they're not. So whatever generation label you want to use, most of the time, the first thought is what they are lacking and really what we have. And I don't believe this is what God ever intended for us in the church. We've even used biblical terms, though, to identify ourselves to a particular season of effectiveness. Terms like this. Now, I grew up in the church my whole life, and I've always heard terms like this. I'm a part of the Moses generation, or I'm a part of the Joshua generation. But even as I was thinking about this week, I felt like the Lord was challenging me and challenging us. And I believe he said this, that every one of us can be a part of the Moses generation, and we can be a part of the Joshua generation. And age in the kingdom of God has nothing to do with your effectiveness. I'm going to repeat that because some of us need to hear it. Age in the kingdom of God has nothing to do with your effectiveness at all. We need to understand this. We are in the New Testament. We are under the covenant of the grace of Jesus Christ. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same Spirit that lives in you and me. So no matter what age, no matter what background, no matter what generation we are labeled under, no matter how old you are, how young you are, whether it is your first breath as a young believer or it's one of your last breaths on this earth, all of us in this room, a part of this church, are destined to serve God's kingdom all the days of our lives wholeheartedly, with great effectiveness through his Spirit, with no limitations. I hope you're hearing me this morning. No limitations on your life. The labels that you've put on your own life, rip them off. Everything you've allowed the enemy to tell you about your age, about your generation, about your place, about your effectiveness, get rid of it and ask what God would like to do with you. Ask what God would like to do with your life. And then let him be the one who writes out what he wants to accomplish with you. Don't let the world tell you what you can't do. Let God tell you what he wants you to do. Age is no barrier for God. But what is a barrier is our availability to obedience. God is looking for a people like you and me who are just like Caleb. He's just looking for people who will say yes to him, who will say yes to whatever he says. When God calls you, he doesn't ask you for your resume. He doesn't say, yes, I'd like to use you, but can I see how old you are? Or can I see how young you are? Or can you just let me know what your educational degree is? Listen, you just open up the Bible. You will see people that God used that were young, they were old, they were uneducated, they were the top of their class in being educated. God doesn't care. He just is looking for people who will say yes to him. And I believe God's leading us to a place as a church, for you as an individual, but for us as a church, that whatever God asks us to do, we will simply reply, yes. We will simply tell him, yes. Man, I've even had to be challenged in my own heart. God, if you asked me to do that, would I do it? Yes. Jason, if I told you to scrap your message, and would you share this? I have to say yes. It's my response to him that God is looking for people who will say yes, because we're not just a part either the Moses generation who leads people out of captivity or the Joshua generation that leads people into their inheritance, but we have a responsibility to be a part of people bringing people out of captivity and also taking people into their inheritance that is found in Jesus Christ. All of us in this room have a role to play in bringing the people of God, the people around us, into their inheritance that God has for them. And the greatest way we'll be able to do this is that if we do it together. Because we need to know this, there is such a thing as an enemy. There's such a thing as a devil. There's such a thing as an evil one. Who he would love to separate us. He would love to draw divisions between us and begin to label us. He would love for us to take the mindset of the world and say, well, I can't do that, or they can't do that. But that is not the heart of God. Because if he could separate us, if he could do that, he will keep us from our inheritance, because for us as a church, our inheritance exists in us going together. And us overlooking age and looking at the heart of God for each other. There will be obstacles, I promise you there will be. There will be things we're gonna have to work through, I promise you there will be. But here's the beauty of it all, we're a family. We walk this journey together, we talk it out. We can have family meetings, we can talk through it, we can have discussions about what we think should or should not be, but the fact is we can work it out. And what is superior to our opinions is the call of God on our lives as a church. In verse 12, we begin to see this heart of Caleb. Caleb says, give me this land. And then goes on to say this. Give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourselves heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. There will always be obstacles. Actually, in other parts of the Bible, even it talks about the Anakites, they were giants. Caleb was saying there were giants in the land. There are giants in the land, and we know that. And he also said there are fortified walls. Other parts of the Bible, it says that the walls were impenetrable. And there will always be giants that would try to frustrate the intentions of God for us as his people. They would try to keep us from possessing our inheritance and his manifest blessing in our midst for us as a church. I long for the day when God would do something fresh and new in our midst, and I believe we are there. But a couple of these giants that I believe God showed me that might be in our midst. The first one is individualism. This giant, we're going to have to slay it, but what is it? It's the principle of being independent and self-reliant. You know what? I don't need anyone else in my life. It's just me and Jesus. No one else really matters. It's just me. I just need my Bible and me and Jesus, and we're fine. Listen, this is a real giant in our society, and it's a giant in our American culture. I don't need a church community. There are even books about it. There are teachings about it. I don't need a church. I can play golf whenever I want with a group of people, and that's my church. I do not believe the Bible supports that belief system. Or I don't need a pastor. Or I don't need accountability. Or I don't need really fellowship. It's just me and Jesus. If this giant isn't defeated in our lives, it's not just the individual who suffers, but it's all parts of the community that suffers. Because it's impossible to do what Paul spoke to us and asked us to do out of Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, when he said, carry each other's burdens. Listen, if I don't know what you're going through, I can't carry your burden. And if you don't really want to be around me, I can't really tell you what I'm going through. But what is the purpose? Why would Paul tell the church to carry each other's burdens? Because in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. This is the beauty of us being a community together. It's the beauty of us walking and carrying each other's burdens. It's what God is speaking to us. I think another giant that we're going to have to face in our midst could be the giant of generationalism. Now, I don't even know if that was a word, but I made it up. So if you're a word person, I apologize. But generationalism. I believe this is the belief that one particular generation is not in need of another. This is the younger thinking that I don't really need the older. And it's the older generation thinking we don't really need the younger. And if this giant isn't defeated, you will not reap the blessing that comes from what Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, where it says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone. And he's praying for the church. He's praying for you and me. This is powerful. But for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. That's God's heart for us. Even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. What is Jesus saying here? Is Jesus saying that our capacity of being able to be one, or our intentionality of being one, affects the world knowing that you had that God had sent him? That's what Jesus has said. Is that the blessing of the world knowing that Jesus came to this earth to save it depends much on whether you and I are in unity together, and that when the world looks at us, they see something contrary to what they see in the world. They see a group of people who are championing one another no matter what age you are. They see a group of people who is speaking life into one another no matter what generation you belong to. This is a sense of what God wants to do with us as a church. As we draw closer together to honor the Father, we begin to honor Jesus. We begin to lift Jesus up. And as we lift Jesus up, he begins to draw all men unto himself. And I believe that we're in a season that God wants to do that in our midst. That the world is going to look at us and they're going to see the unity of Christ flowing through us. Every race, every gender, every economic standing, and every generation. These are giants that we need to confront them. We need to remove them without fear. Because, for one, we can do it because God is with us. That God is leading us as a church. He is the one who is in front of us. And we all do our best to pursue him and to be led by him. And we will do just as Caleb said. We will drive them out. Because we are a people. We are a people that God wants to use. You are a person that God wants to use. God has knit a mantle for your life that only you can wear. that only you can walk out in your life. God has a sphere of influence for you that only you can walk it out. And that this church, that we would tell each other and speak to each other, God has great plans for you. Together, we are better, and we're going to move forward in a significant way. So in verse 13, Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. And then we move to verse 14, which I believe is a real key. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. This is the key for us possessing our inheritance as a church. My friends, we are in a great place. And this is about our family as a church, stepping into our years of jubilee, that we would follow the Lord wholeheartedly, that we would be determined, we would not be reluctant, we would be enthusiastic. We would not be limited by anything that would try to divert the purposes of God in our midst. I long to be something together, a part of something that's much bigger than myself. I long for it. My heart is that we together would begin to see God's presence. We begin to seek his presence in a very special, powerful way in our midst. That we would begin to see giants slayed in our midst, whether it's individualism or generationalism. Oh, how about this? How about sickness? How about depression? That God, through his Spirit, through our unity together, would begin to slay the giants that keep us from our inheritance that is found in Jesus Christ. There's an incredible sentence, actually, at the last part of 15, that after Caleb possessed his land, it says this in 15, then the land had rest from war. And what I believe God spoke to us as a church was this. I want you to hear this. A day has passed, and a new day has come. It is my feeling, my perception, that God wants to take this church into a new spiritual geography and territory that we've longed for, we've prayed for, what we've worked for, what we've sacrificed for, what we've given for, what we bled for. But my friends, it will be God who will do it. It will not be by might. It will not be by our own power. But it will be by the Spirit, says the Lord. We have good things ahead of us because together we are better. And we have an inheritance that's been promised by God through his Son, Jesus. But also God has called us as part of our inheritance to be significant in our community. This is who we are. We're part of something much bigger than what we think we are. We have been called as Faith Bible Chapel to be significant in our community, to transform and be significant into our culture, to be significant in society, to be significant in Israel and be the voice that speaks up when every other voice is silent. This is what you are a part of. We've been called to touch the uttermost parts of the earth and change it and transform it. This is our inheritance. And I believe God is leading us to a fresh new place of an understanding of his presence. When we gather together because of our unity, because of our cross-generational arm linking, we begin to have a sense of God's presence in our midst that is alive, that is well. And the greatest way I know how to say it is that we would be aware of the nowness of God right now. And we would know that God is not an historical figure. He's not a being in a book. He's not a character of a theological system. Our God is an eternal God. And his name is Yahweh. He is Jehovah, which simply means to be or means I am. This is the name that God chose in Exodus chapter 3. And he is not a God, my friends, who is trapped in the past, nor a God who is waiting in the future, but he is relevant. He is real. He is today. He's in this present day with you and I right now on this Sunday in the weekend of January. And I believe we're stepping into a new sense of the nowness of God. I don't know about you, but I want some more of God in my life. I want some more of Him moving in my life and changing me. I don't want to come to the end of my life and say, man, I wish I would have known God more. I don't want to come to the end of my life and say, I sure wish I could have served the people of my church more. I want all that He has for me. I want to serve Him. I want when they write the chronicles of my life that they would say that Jason followed God wholeheartedly with everything he had. That's what I want them to write. Nothing else. I don't care what else they write about me. But if they say that, I can say, thank you, God. It was by your grace and your grace alone. And I believe that's where God is taking us as a church. He's leading us from one place and he's taking us to another and he's calling us. He's like, come on up here. Come follow me. And let's follow him as a church wholeheartedly. I believe we're coming into a new era of the Holy Spirit. We hear about it. I believe this is one of the movements of the Holy Spirit. Was this message right here? Through this imperfect vessel. Doesn't mean the special I am. It just means how much God actually loves you. I'm just a mouthpiece. He loves you. This is for you. He wants you to have your inheritance. Much more than any church leadership wants you to have your inheritance. God wants you to have it. It's God's heart for you to possess it. And I believe the Spirit of God is among us. And we are exalting the Father. And we are revealing the Son. And we are equipping God's people. And this is a new season. And it is a season of jubilee that you and I, my friends, we're going to believe God for much. Are you ready to believe God for much in your life? Listen, I am. We're going to believe God for generational impact and unity. We're going to step into a fresh day that the Spirit flows through us and flows in our midst and through a new, fresh expression. And we're going to possess our inheritance in Christ. Our inheritance God has for us as an individual body of believers. We're not going to allow age, my friends, to tell us what we can and cannot do for God's kingdom. And we're going to link arms with one another, and we're going to bring glory to the living God who is with us, who is among us, who we call our God, and he calls us his people. That is for us as a church, and that is our inheritance. Are you ready to possess it? Amen. And I think this whole message is this whole idea that God is bringing us closer together. And it leads us actually very well to a time of taking communion because there is one thing that God wants to do in our midst. He wants to reveal his Son so that we can know him more. And as he reveals his Son, it opens our hearts to be more available for the Holy Spirit to flow through. And as the Holy Spirit flows through us, we give honor and glory to the Father. And we're about to take communion, and something we need to know even as we take communion is that the communion, yes, we remember what Jesus did, but why did he do it? We found why he did it back in John 17, so that we may be one. We may be a family. That we may carry each other's burdens. I need you. I need you. And you need me. It's just family. We're stronger and we're better together.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.